Professors FM.
I'm Bridget Stomberg.
And I'm Lisa DeSimone.
And this is Taxes for the Masses.
Today's episode identifies the winners and losers of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, President Trump's signature tax legislation, was signed into law in December of 2017. Upon signing the bill, President Trump declared a victory for the middle class and for job growth in America. In today's episode, we unpack the effects of the bill 6 years after its effective date. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, B. What's on tap for today?
Well, you know I'm not a beer drinker.
I did know that.
So I guess taxes are going to be on tap today?
It's my favorite.
Can taxes be on tap?
I think so. I mean, to be on tap is to be like ready to go, like ready for action. And we're always ready to go when it comes to taxes.
That we are.
Yeah.
All right. So then on tap today, we're going to talk about something that we've already discussed a lot, but haven't really expounded upon. You know what I mean?
Do you know what you mean?
Not usually, but right now, actually, yes, I do.
Okay, please explain.
So we're going to talk about the TCJA.
Oh, that's our favorite.
The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was passed in 2017. And although we've mentioned it, or at least parts of it, on many of our prior episodes, it occurred to me that we haven't really devoted an entire episode to it. And I think that's something we need to remedy.
Okay, I'm in.
Because it is the most substantial tax legislation in the past 30 years.
That's totally fair. And we've kept the TCJA out of the spotlight for long enough. So it's going to take center stage today. Let's do it. What's the plan?
Well, I figured we should talk a little bit about the winners and losers, because who doesn't like to coarsely bucket all of America into two opposing groups?
Because we don't have enough of that going on in life.
We're going to be doing what everybody else is doing.
Okay.
So that's our goal for today, is winners and losers.
Okay.
But we're going to start by talking a little bit about the legislative history of the act. We're going to highlight some of the key talking points around the act, mm-hmm. and conclude with an analysis of just who benefited and who did not. I don't want to call it fact checking, because nothing that a politician ever says is a fact. So maybe we'll call it promise checking.
Okay.
We're going to see how well the TCJA lived up to the promises that some of its supporters made.
Oh boy. Yeah. This is going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Okay. I like it. I guess I'll kick us off here with a bit of legislative history.
Please do.
One of my favorite things. Now, you may recall that former President Donald Trump made many promises on the campaign trail in 2016.
Many.
As all politicians do.
Fair point.
Including building a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border.
Oh, yes.
Which has happened a little bit. Mm-hmm. Repealing Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And cutting taxes. And Trump's team started to walk back many of those promises just days after he was elected. And during his first year in office, Republicans failed to repeal Obamacare.
Yeah.
So by fall of 2017, Trump had a lot of his eggs in the tax cut basket, so to speak.
I want a tax cut basket.
Do you?
I do. That sounds great.
Do you want to bankrupt our government? Okay.
No. Okay. Fair enough. Way to take the fun out of it.
It's already bankrupt. Don't worry about
true.
It.
True. How much more could I
right?
make it?
Right?
So on November 2nd, 2017, Representative Kevin Brady of the great state of Texas, he introduced the bill that would eventually become the TCJA.
Mm-hmm. And the final bill was passed by both chambers, and it was signed into law by President Trump on December 22nd, 2017. Happy holidays. The entire process of majorly overhauling our tax system took just about 50 days.
And to put that into context, mm-hmm. for our listeners, the Tax Reform Act of 1986,
which was the largest tax reform in the previous generation.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That was first introduced in December of 1985 and not signed into law until October of 1986. So that one took a little bit longer. One may argue it was more thought out.
You might argue that.
One might argue that.
Yeah. So what did the TCJA do? Answer, it did a lot of things.
A lot of things.
And we're going to highlight some of its greatest hits. Okay, so first up, the act reduced the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. It also increased tax incentives for business investments and lowered some of the existing tax penalties that many speculated were preventing large multinational corporations from bringing the cash they earned overseas back to the United States. The act also reduced individual income tax rates a little bit more modestly. Mm-hmm. For example, the top individual rate fell from 39.6% to 37%.
Well, I feel like everything you just said really highlighted the tax cuts part of the TCJA.
Yes.
Now, what about the jobs part?
Yes, yes. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And supporters argued that these provisions, these tax cuts for corporations would spur investment and boost worker productivity, thereby increasing the demand for labor. So holding labor supply constant and increase in demand should lead to higher wages.
All right, so we're going to cut taxes for corporations and it's going to help individuals.
Yes, the little people.
Yeah, the old trickle-down economic theory there.
Indeed it is, yes.
So the idea behind what I think was termed trickle-down economics during the Reagan administration is that if you give tax cuts to those quote-unquote on top, that's going to generate additional profits that trickle down throughout the economy.
Because those who have all the wealth and power are notoriously known for sharing it with the little people.
Very generous people. So President Trump was quoted as saying the act would be, quote, rocket fuel for our economy.
Okay.
And that the focus of the act was on, quote, helping the folks who work in the mailrooms and the machine shops of America, the carpenters, the cops, the teachers, the truck drivers, the pipe fitters, the people that like me best.
People that like him best.
Yeah, I'm a teacher. I don't know that I like him best. Huh. Anywho, what do you think about that?
I mean, I guess I think the more important question is, what do researchers who have studied the effects of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, what do they think about it?
Well,
let's find out. In summary, proponents of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act argued that the new law would increase GDP growth, increase business investment, and increase wages and salaries. President Trump's chief economic advisor promised that the wealthy would not get a tax cut under the plan, whereas lower and middle income Americans would get a tax cut. Let's move on to a discussion of what the empirical evidence to date can tell us about the accuracy of those statements.
Let's do that.
Let's.
All right. So first, let's look at the distribution of the tax cuts themselves. So you mentioned that not only did the corporate rate go down, but individual rates went down as well.
Yep.
And there were other various individual provisions floating around there
that
were intended to cut people's tax burdens in addition to cutting the rate. So we were told that the wealthy weren't going to get a tax cut.
Right.
Did the wealthy get a tax cut under the TCJA, you may ask? And the answer is, you bet your sweet bippy they did.
I mean, I think I said the top rate came down from 39.6 to 37%. And that's the tip of the freaking iceberg.
I heard you say that, which makes it curious how the chief economic advisor could say
there was no tax cut for those who would be subject to the top rate. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So according to work by William Gale and others for the Tax Policy Center, the Urban Institute, and the Brookings Institute, 84% of taxpayers in the top 0.1% of the income distribution got a tax cut, which, as you said, sort of had to happen if we lowered the top rate.
Right.
The average tax cut in this group was over $280,000 each year.
Wow.
In contrast, only 54% of taxpayers in the bottom 20% of the income distribution got a tax cut. And their average tax cut was, wait for it, $130.
There's no thousand at the end
there
of that.
There's no comma in that number.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
A little bit.
The Center for American Progress called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act a, quote, bonanza for the rich.
I like that.
Excellent use of the word bonanza. Yeah. Not only because of the individual tax rate cuts that we just talked about, but also because the act doubled the estate tax exemption.
Oh, yeah.
So fewer high wealth individuals will owe an estate tax upon their death because the exemption went from somewhere like 5 million ish per person to
22 if you're married or
over 13 million per person currently. Moreover, the act created a new special deduction for pass-through business income, with 61% of those benefits accruing to the top 1% of earners. that sounds to me like a tax cut for the rich.
It does. But okay, let's be fair. Just because the wealthy did get a tax cut doesn't mean that lower and middle income Americans didn't.
They got $130.
So yes, it was only a fraction of what the wealthy taxpayers got. Mm-hmm. So we're not looking great so far.
And when we say fraction, we're not talking like a quarter. No. We're talking like 1/2,000.
Technically, it's a fraction, but you don't have a measuring spoon that small. Now, what about that rocket fuel for the economy?
Maybe more like fuel for a moped.
Okay.
It's almost like a rocket.
Sure.
I mean, to be fair, it's difficult to tell what the effect of the TCJA is on things like GDP.
I'm sorry. Are we being fair today? Is that what we're doing?
We're trying. We're always trying to be checking fair. In.
You're right.
GDP is a big thing, right? It's the entire economy. And there's a lot of things moving and going on at the same time. So trying to say that like, oh, we saw the GDP grow by X percent, trying to say that that's all TCJA
or anything at all
is tough. All right. So let's look at what researchers say. According to work by Bill Gale and Claire Halderman, GDP grew at the same rate in the 2 years after the tax cut as it did in the 2 years before the tax cut.
Okay.
But it grew faster than it was expected to when benchmarked against estimates generated before the tax cut, right? So maybe we were scheduled for a slowdown.
Yep.
Yes. People thought it was coming and the slowdown didn't actually come. That would be a positive benefit of the TCJA if we could say that's why it happened.
Would be positive. Don't know that I'd call it rocket fuel, but okay.
Yes. There were also other intervening policies in 2018 and 2019 that surely boosted GDP, and trade tensions and tariff issues that you might recall from the Trump administration that likely hurt GDP.
Yep.
Bottom line, it's really difficult to isolate the precise effects of this tax policy on economic growth, given everything else that was going on in the world at the time.
Okay, so we don't really know what's going on with GDP.
We don't really know.
Fair enough. How about investment? Well, Gale and Haldeman do note an increase in investment after the TCJA as promised.
Okay.
However, the pattern that they observe and the timing of the investment growth are both inconsistent with what we would expect to see if it was coming from the tax law changes.
Say more words.
So essentially, we see a spike in investment in Q4 of 2017 when the act was passed.
And most of which occurred before the act was passed.
Exactly, because most of the quarter is before December. Right. Excellent point. And then we also see that spike in Q1 of 2018, but then it starts to drop off. So two things. For companies to be able to respond to a tax cut that got passed on December 22nd of 2017 that quickly would require a level of coordination and just agility and certainty that many companies just simply were not going to have.
Right.
So investment declined fairly steadily after that Q1 of 2018, which again would not be consistent with what you mentioned are these permanent tax incentives, right?
Like, sure.
We shouldn't have just reacted to it for 3 months and then moved on with our lives.
Right.
So in general, those authors conclude that the post-TCJA investment pattern we see seems to be better explained by changes in things like oil prices than changes in taxes.
Mm. Oil prices do have a pretty big effect on the economy.
You'd think.
Yeah. There's similarly bleak research on new business formation. So the rate of growth in new businesses was down in 2018 and 2019 compared to 2016 and 2017. So lower than it was before the act.
So GDP ? Investment down, new business formation
down,
jobs, wages. How are those teachers and truck drivers doing?
And the plumbers and
pipe fitters.
All right. Well, employment growth slowed after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Okay.
As did real median earnings.
Okay.
So real mean wages did increase.
Well, that's good, right?
Well, sort of and sort of not.
Okay.
I mean, if median earnings slowed, but mean wages increased, it basically means that all of this wage increase after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act went to higher wage earners.
Damn you, statistics!
Right? This all tracks with findings in another study by individuals at the Joint Committee on Taxation and the Fed. Those authors use tax return data to estimate that workers below the 90th percentile in their firm's earnings distribution did not get any wage boost from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act corporate tax rate cut.
90th percentile?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So the vast majority of workers did not get a wage boost.
No.
Those authors estimate that 11% of all gains from the corporate tax cut went to the five highest paid executives at the firm, and another 40% went to high wage earners, those in the top 10% of the firm's wage distribution.
Wait, that's not great.
It's not.
Sadly, those estimates are consistent with other studies of how corporate tax rate cuts generally get distributed, not just during the TCJA.
Okay.
So, for example, another researcher, Eric Orne, estimates that executive pay increases by 25 cents for every dollar in corporate tax rate cuts.
All right. So I'm determined to find some big benefits here for those lower paid workers.
Okay.
We're going to find it. Just because wages increased more for high-income workers doesn't necessarily mean they didn't increase at all for low-income workers, right?
That's right. So another more recent study does estimate wage growth after the TCJA for workers. Yay. So you found your...
Okay.
Okay. Average increase?
Yeah.
$750 a year.
Yeah.
Which is much less than probably what those executives were getting.
Yeah.
But even worse, it's much less than the $4,000 increase in wages that Trump sort of threw around pretty casually in 2017.
Meaning like this happened, he was saying this was going to happen?
He was saying this was coming. Like there are quotes from him and I believe some other Republicans saying that average pipe fitter could expect an increase in take home pay of somewhere between $3,000 and $9,000 a year.
Wow.
$750 is not that amount.
Okay, so this is wages we're talking about. It is. I'm still looking for our silver lining
here.
You
keep going.
What about bonuses, right? There were a whole bunch of news articles about companies giving out bonuses to their rank and file workers right after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was signed into law. And I know this because Trump wouldn't shut up about it.
He and many others. And so you're 100% right. There were several large companies that did announce publicly that they were giving their employees bonuses right after President Trump signed the bill into law.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Hutchins, Dan Lynch, and I actually have a study looking at those bonuses.
Yes.
And we identify, I think, a couple hundred firms that publicly announced what we call TCJA bonuses.
That's not nothing. That's a lot of firms.
It's not. And it means that, you know, even more companies might have actually paid these bonuses right. And not publicly announced them.
Right. That's a great point. So a lot of companies announce the bonuses, but you aren't saying anything at all yet about the size of the bonuses, mm-hmm. which given our conversation so far is making me a little nervous. Mm-hmm. Were they small?
The bonuses?
Yeah.
Oh, they were.
Damn.
So the most commonly announced bonus was a one-time payment of $1,000.
Okay. It's at least in the right order of magnitude. It's in the thousands.
It has a comma in it.
It's the lowest thousand.
It is.
But it's there.
It is. Now, unfortunately, other studies suggest that the average only equated to about $245 per worker at firms that announced the bonuses.
At firms that announced?
Yes.
Okay.
In aggregate, the estimate is about $4.4 billion of all of these TCJA employee-related bonuses were paid out. And if you divide that number by all of the workers in the U.S., you get $28 per employee. It's reminding me of the scene from Christmas Vacation where Cousin Eddie goes and kidnaps Clark's boss because the company decided not to pay Christmas bonuses. And then the Griswold family didn't think they were going to get their pool.
They paid a bonus. It just was like a gift basket.
It was jelly or something, was it?
I thought it was like a fruit of the month club.
We'll get to the bottom of this.
Okay. It was a non-cash bonus.
Okay.
Okay. To recap, when we look at the distribution of corporate tax cut benefits, estimates suggest 11% went to executives and 40% went to other high wage earners. Okay, so where's the other 49% go?
To shareholders.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Buybacks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Makes perfect sense. Yep.
And in case anyone out there is holding out hope that the pipe fitters own a lot of stock.
Yeah.
We know that stock buybacks are potentially problematic from an equity perspective because the highest wealth individuals own the vast majority of the U.S. stock market.
And it's not just a wealth thing. It's also a race and a class and Absolutely. A gender thing mm-hmm. in terms of who owns stock versus not.
Yes.
Lots of equity issues there. Okay. We've talked a lot about what some academics have to say about how well the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act delivered on promises. And I'm gonna say the evidence suggests we should give the TCJA a poor grade.
I would agree with that.
What are Republicans saying?
Well, the House Ways and Means Committee issued a press release in 2022 saying that it was great.
Of course.
Everything was great. And to support that assertion, they point to a report by the Congressional Budget Office from 2018. And that report shows, just like everything we've talked about, that all income distributions got a tax cut from the TCJA,
okay,
including the wealthy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're not highlighting that, but at least we all agree that everybody benefited. The report also shows, though, that the cuts were the biggest for the highest income earners. Now, that's not highlighted in the press release. You got to actually click through to see the graphs. So instead of focusing on that,
right,
we don't want to focus on that. What the House press release does is it notes that the share of taxes paid by all individuals in the U.S., the portion of that total that was paid by top earners did increase after the TCJA.
Okay.
By 1%.
Okay.
You okay? So, I mean, I guess we can be super excited about that if we'd
It's something.
It's something. The release also said that unemployment hit its lowest levels in 50 years after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. True fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, if you pull up a graph of the unemployment trend over time, it has been steadily declining since Q4 of 2009.
That's a long time.
When you look at the graph, if you eyeball it, doesn't look like it started to decrease at a higher rate after the TCJA. Mm-hmm. So the point is, although that claim is entirely accurate, again, pretty hard to attribute it to the TCJA. And I didn't see any support linked in that House press release that indicated that it was because of the TCJA.
Okay. So here's the trillion-dollar question.
Oh.
Republicans said these tax cuts were going to pay for themselves.
They did.
They did.
They did say that.
Ah. Did they?
Oh, sorry. I see how you could get confused there. They did say that, but the tax cuts did not, in fact, pay for themselves. No. Sorry. Good point of clarification there.
Yeah.
The TCJA is adding about $100 billion each year to our deficit.
Okay. So it's the $100 billion question.
$100 billion.
My mistake.
Yeah. I'll take
per
it.
Per year.
I'll take
per
it. Per year. Yeah. No big deal. Rounding error. All right, so it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And since you already said on air that you were trying to find the good in things, I'm just going to look at you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yes.
What you got for me?
I like that we're talking about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. We're finally giving the act its day in the sun.
Yes. Yes. I don't know that it deserves it, but it's getting it.
Well, I think it's still good to talk about these things, even if the promises are broken, because maybe next time we won't be fooled. Maybe.
No, that's absolutely right. I do think that people, not everybody, but some people are legitimately curious about who benefits from big corporate tax cuts.
Yes.
I know when I taught last year, I had a student say, you know, ask the question, when corporations get a tax cut, like who benefits from that?
Right.
So I do think it's a big question. It's an important question. I'm not claiming at all that we answered it today, but we tried. We talked about it.
I think we know most of it went to executives, top 10% of the income distribution, and shareholders.
Yeah.
Did I miss something? I think we got to the answer.
Maybe I'm trying to hold out hope and say maybe it doesn't always have to be that way.
Okay. I think we've moved into the bad already.
Sure. Yes.
You know, I don't think these promises were upheld.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, it's tough. It's tough to tease out the actual effects of the act. And so, you know, we've got researchers doing their best trying to isolate the effects, but it's tough. So maybe we don't know everything there is to know.
Absolutely. And I guess that's the point I was trying to allude to before. Like, we have some evidence from really solid researchers pointing to the act not delivering all of its promises. But to try to put really precise numerical estimates on things is difficult because it's not a lab. We can't control away all of the other things that are happening. But by and large, you are 100% right that the vast majority of things that we see anecdotally from really deep research seems to suggest that this did not deliver for middle-class Americans in the way that Trump and other Republicans promised it would.
Which makes me wonder, like, what do middle-class Americans think about the act?
Mm-hmm. So interesting you should ask that.
Yes.
So for example, even though about 82% of people earning between $50,000 and $75,000 a year did get a tax cut from the TCJA, only about 42% think they did.
Maybe because it was like $130. What did we decide earlier?
$130.
Yeah.
I think the magnitude could be an issue. also, and we're not to get off on a tangent here, but all of the withholding changed with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And so people's refunds were lower, and people tend to conflate refund size with tax liability size.
Which we've discussed before is not actually how it works. No. And yet we will continue explaining that to all of our students and most of our listeners probably for the rest of our days.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, ugly.
The promises, sure, we promise the world, right? Mm-hmm. And we see it with presidential candidates who, by the way, do not write tax policies.
No, or understand it.
Right, and they can just say, and we're seeing it right now and run up to the election, and it's on all sides.
It's on both sides, right? Like, 100%.
It's any candidate can just get up there and say whatever they want, and it drives me crazy.
Yes.
What drives me even more crazy is when we actually have some hard facts now. We know how much it cost. We know how much it brought in. Mm-hmm. We know some of the economic effects, and politicians are still just going to say whatever they want.
Right.
And with no basis in fact.
I totally agree. And it is, I know that we could never do this for all the reasons that we just said, but we don't really hold lawmakers accountable ex post.
We should.
And I get that it would be hard to do that because it's hard, you know, to estimate all of this stuff and how much of what we see changing is actually attributable to the law that they passed. But it is really annoying when you promise somebody between $4,000 and $9,000 more in take home pay every year, and the best estimate we have is $750. Like, that's not even close.
Yeah.
There's no accountability for that, presumably. In theory, if you mess it up bad enough, you shouldn't get reelected.
Right.
But then the problem is we have things like this House Ways and Means press release that just puts a bright, positive, cheery spin on everything. And
with no basis in fact.
With no basis in fact, making it very difficult for the average voter to understand the effects of what just happened and to hold the politicians accountable.
Yeah.
Last thing I'm going to say on the ugly note is we didn't even talk about all the losers.
I mean, we talked about 90% of America. The individuals who got nothing.
And can you believe there are more? And yet there are more. There's a lot. There are more losers here, sadly.
You're looking at one.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Be sure to join us for more tax nerdery on future episodes of Taxes for the Masses.